is becoming very dangerous in Pakistan in particular.
Well, Mr. Maalouf, would you be able to say 13 years on, after the United States has gotten involved in Afghanistan, mission accomplished?
Well, it's a total mission failure. We should not have gone in there in the first place. And the fact that we helped create the Islamic State, it's going to give Islamic State now, there are indications that they too are starting to use drones. They're certainly using them for reconnaissance. So we're passing along ideas on remote warfare. It's sort of a sixth generation type of warfare, which actually a number of countries are looking at seriously to adopt. The Russians are as well, engage in warfare through remote means in order to save lives. But it's going to create all kinds of havoc on the ground, and because of the indiscriminate way in which these kinds of things occur, and I'm concerned that we have that we continue to use drones, and we should be turning things over immediately to the Afghan government for what it's worth, and actually try to get other countries in that region to get more engaged, to try and lessen the tensions and try to point Afghanistan in a better and more constructive direction than it is right now. And but this continuous warfare is just has no good ending to it.
Well, Mr. Bambury, what do you make of Mr. Maalouf has said that no, it was not mission accomplished, but the opposite. So we look back 13 years, we have a war that many, even inside the United States, said that should not have ever taken place. We have thousands of lives on all sides, whether we're talking about Afghan natives, whether we're talking about military troops, so many lives that have been lost. Who should pay for this? And we, as you said, we see the situation currently actually very, very unstable in Afghanistan. So it doesn't seem that security actually has been enhanced, but the opposite. And many lives have been lost. So who pays for this so-called mistake?
Well, I think the Americans will pay, but I think, unfortunately, the majority of people who are dying are Afghanis or in Iraq, Iraqis, or in Pakistan, Pakistanis. It's not Western lives. And I think you look at the body pile in crude terms, there is a clear imbalance in terms of people who die. It's mainly people from those countries, not people from the United States, Britain, France, etc. The second thing is when I hear President Obama today in Hawaii saying that the mission has left the world a safer place, I do wonder on which planet he's living on. I mean, today it's been revealed that Islamic State have training camps in Libya. If you're looking from a European perspective, Libya is very close in terms of the possibility of the reality of Islamic State spreading into that area. It makes the thing look horribly dangerous from where I'm sitting in London. So I think when Obama says the world is safer, really, it is completely the opposite way around. The world is a far more dangerous place 13 years on in terms of what we are seeing. And just the sheer level of killings and deaths is far worse than it was 13 years ago.
Well, perhaps it's a safer world, especially from the perspective of someone sitting in Hawaii, a ways away from the situation in Afghanistan. But Mr. Maalouf, so what now? Is there any way there can be any legal consequences for those who are responsible in all this death and destruction?
I think, unfortunately, no one's going to be able to do anything about it. You have a world in which people are feeling more and more threatened, particularly in Europe. They are seeing Islamists, the jihadists that are coming along, and I think that the whole issue of drones and the deaths that have accrued over the past 13 years is in effect going to be history, unfortunately. I think we're at the next level now. Look, Obama came in as the peacetime president. He promised there'd be no more wars. Now he's turning into a wartime president. And my colleague is absolutely right. The man is delusional if he thinks it's a safer place. It's worse off today as a result, because we have built up more resistance, more enemies, and we've actually helped increase and create the Islamic State. And I think that as a result, look, the Islamic State started as a result of our actions in Iraq in the first place. So for every action, there's a reaction, and there are consequences to our actions on the international scene. And we don't project 5 to 10 years in advance and ahead as to what those consequences are going to be. And now we're seeing those consequences as a result of our actions just a little over 10 years ago when we went in 2003.
Mr. Banbury, I want to look at it from another perspective. How likely is what we're seeing on the ground in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in Iraq, in Syria, perhaps exactly as some military strategists want it to be from the West, a constant state of instability, a constant state of basically none of these countries being able to totally stand on their own feet, and always that excuse of interference by other entities?
Well, I think if you were sitting in Tel Aviv, I think you'd be very satisfied in some ways with the result, because really you've seen the destruction of any serious possibility of a challenge by any Arab state neighboring Israel go out the window. So I think in a sense, yes, you could draw a strategy. I don't buy into conspiracy theory, but I think as it has developed, if you like, the chaos which has engulfed particularly the Arab world has got some benefits for the West. And also, I have to say, some benefits for Saudi Arabia, who feel more secure than they did when they were facing the full challenge of the Arab Spring, and really the House of Saud felt very threatened by it. But at the same time, you have to say that this is a constant danger of spiraling out of control. And the thing that astounds me about the United States and its allies is really there is no attempt, looking at the situation in Afghanistan, looking at the situation in Pakistan, there is no attempt to engage with other countries in the area who have got an interest in this situation, China, Iran, even Russia, in order to actually discuss what could be done about rebuilding, in a genuine sense, rebuilding Afghanistan, because little has been achieved in terms of, despite
millions
of dollars.
So let me just interrupt you right there, Mr. Banbury. Let me interrupt you right there. Could that possibly then point to something other than wanting to rebuild Afghanistan? Because as you've said, for example, consulting with China or consulting with Iran, who's in the region, about developing Afghanistan, that would seem like the practical steps one would take if the real goal is rebuilding Afghanistan. And of course, this has not been done. So again, the question is, was the goal to stabilize and rebuild Afghanistan, or perhaps was the goal something else? Let me cross over to Washington and get Mr. Maalouf on that question.
Yeah, I think that it shows that it has been a failure. As I mentioned earlier, we should be engaging the countries in the region. The United States should be initiating a conference in the region to get all the parties, all the players, people who have interests, including India, engaged in figuring out what direction to go. Afghanistan has been historically an area that all those countries in the region have looked upon to be within their sphere of influence. If that's the case, let's do something more constructive rather than always showing the military aspects. I think that there is a lot that can be gained from us initiating such meetings, but you're not hearing anything from this administration. And I think that that is an unfortunate development. But I think that we absolutely need to have enlightened leaders to take charge and do just that and get people more engaged and actually to get all the participants in those, in especially in Afghanistan, to feel that they're part of the process and toward the future of that country.
What about that last question, Mr. Banbury? Do you feel that the Afghans are part of the process? Does the United States actually empower them to make the decisions that they see best for their country?
No, I don't think the United States have empowered Afghans to do so. I mean, Donald Rumsfeld said at the time, in relation to Iraq, we don't do nation building. I don't think they did it. Eventually, under almost panic measures, they did inject money into Afghanistan. But you leave behind security forces which are not reliable. You leave behind a weak government, in fact, no government in effect at the moment, a real problem of corruption, a real problem of basic services. We were promised that we were going to bring education and all sorts of things to the Afghani people. That hasn't happened. The blight of the opium trade continues, and that impacts back into the West, by the way. Afghanistan remains a quagmire, and I think we haven't resolved that question. And I think for the United States as well, the effort in the beginning of the last decade to use their military strength to compensate for their relative economic decline. You look forward, fast forward 13 years, the economic decline is still there, relative. But China has also taken huge steps forward. And really, in terms of America's position as number one in the world, it's under threat once more. They haven't been able to reverse that. And yet the Americans still seem determined to use their military weight to reassert the position in the world. No one seems to have drawn that lesson, not least Obama.
All right, thank you so much. We're out of time. Appreciate both of you being with us. Out of Washington, Mr. Michael Malouf, former Pentagon officer, and out of London, Mr. Chris Bambury, political commentator. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzieh Hashemi, signing out right here in Tehran.